the supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most High. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to your program. Today is a special from IRIB English Radio. What is the topic of today's episode? It's about unity in diversity.
ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء.
Today, Wednesday, is the 13th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 20th of October 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter and fall, verse 46 of the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين.
And obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not dispute and thus lose courage, and then your strength would depart. And be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
God introduces the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, as the axis of practical unity for Muslims. This axis includes all deeds of words of the Prophet, who, as the history of the Islam testifies, prevented discord and created unity among Muslims in order to strengthen the political and social basis of the Ummah. The Prophet, after migrating to Medina from Mecca, entered into treaties and social contracts, which are among the most evident way of fostering unity. By creating brotherhood among Muslims, the Holy Prophet turned the enmity of the days of paganism into blessings and mercy.
Sallallahu ala Taha, khayri lakhalqi wa ahlaha. Sallallahu ala Taha, khayri lakhalqi wa ahlaha. Khayrul khalqi huwa al-hadi.
Today is a special unity in diversity. Islam regards all people as equal before the laws of Allah, black and white, Arab and non-Arab, male and female, rich and poor. Islam brings them all together and addresses its commands and prohibitions to them all. So whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger will enter hell, as He says in chapter Fussilat, chapter 41, verse 46, Whosoever does righteous good deeds, it is for the benefit of his own self. And whosoever does evil, it is against his own self. And your Lord is not at all unjust to his servants.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astayn. Please remember, please note that in many Muslim lands, Muslims have been very much active in order to render public services to other people. We all know that, for example, in some countries and nations, in many Muslim countries and nations, for example, in India, in Pakistan, in some African communities, and nations, Muslims have been really very beneficial to all people, not only to Muslims, but also to other people, followers of other religions. For example, there have been many Muslim merchants and traders who initiated such great projects like building a hospital or, for example, orphanaries or For example, public welfare institutes, in order to support other Muslims. And besides Muslims, even non-Muslims may come and benefit from the services rendered therein. Now we find that this is the Islamic integration and unity is one of the most important messages of the political aspect or political side of the Islamic religion.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today is a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Unity teaches us to be selfless. This is one lesson from Unity. None of you will have faith until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Quite beautifully, this narration includes both Muslims and non-Muslims in relation to maintaining brotherhood. Our prophet is directing us about how a believer should invite a non-believer to Islam, just how he loves Islam for himself. For this reason, it is recommended to supplicate for the disbeliever to be guided. The meaning of love here is an intention for good and benefit, and this meaning is religious love, not human love. This type of love is therefore quite unique, just like how you may invite a friend to your home due to wanting their presence and to host them to the best of your abilities. Inviting them to Islam with the same mentality is an example of exposing love to someone due to wanting good for them. This is the essence of unity, bringing together people from all walks of life and making them bond through love and respect.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
Among the things we can do to develop a culture of Muslim unity, we're rich to avoiding taking a strong position on a smaller points. Dear brothers and sisters, there is what's called a fiqh of priorities. And this essentially means that there are some aspects of Islam that are more important than others. For instance, it's more important to emphasize that Muslims establish prayer together than whether or not there should be a separate jama'ah between Shia and Sunni in mosques. Knowing what our priorities are will help us avoid making secondary issues of the faith factors of division in our communities. Muslim leaders, especially, must not only understand this, but implement it in their communities, so that small differences do not ruin Muslim unity.
The whole world now is facing this growing epidemic, which is creating unprecedented challenges for mankind, for the governments, for the armies, for the health departments in every country, for the entire economies, for the world economy. And amid this stress and uncertainties, one has to remember to take care of his family and his community and his friends. I know many of us are worried about what will happen next week or next month. Is this going to continue for another 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks? We really don't know. Nobody can answer this question. Officials, governors, mayors, presidents, prime ministers are bewildered, confused, and we see developments, rapid developments, a cascade of developments every hour. But still, in the midst of this confusion, you have to be strong and you have to have hope. This is a time of unity and solidarity. Unity and solidarity. This is a time of social togetherness, because we are all of us are in this, no exception. And therefore, when we are asked by the authorities to stay at home, this staying at home, this isolation, does not mean, or social distancing does not mean social disconnect. You still can connect with your friends from your bedroom, from your living room. You still can connect with your parents, with your siblings, with your friends. Check on them, ask about them. Don't abandon them. I know some heroes. I don't call them leaders. Heroes. They are really heroes. At the time of a crisis, you realize that they are real human heroes. God designated them to serve his people. They check on people. They go and ask. They knock at the doors. They call. Do you need help? I can come. I can do the shopping for you. I can take you if you have a necessary trip. I can take you. If you want to leave your house, if you need any help, I am there. Those are heroes. Here we find the beauty of the humanity.
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, I congratulate the Week of Unity to all brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. Have a nice time.
Mustafa, anta al-Nabi al-Amin wa Sayyid al-Mursalin rahmatan lil-alamin. بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us ponder on a beautiful formula of solidarity of the Ummah, as mentioned by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This hadith has been widely mentioned by both Sunni and Shia Muslims. The stars are a security for the people of the earth against drowning when at sea. And my Ahlul Bayt are a security to the people of the earth against discord.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, as mentioned previously, we are currently in the week of unity as termed by the great mystic, the great contemporary Gnostic of our time, Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. The week of unity being between the 2 days that are reported and recorded as being the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, between the two major trends in Islam, that is the Sunni trend and the Shia trend. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that truly within this week, because of our belief in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that because of him and for his sake, we are able to achieve the unity and that, you know, combining of hearts that he so greatly strove and sought from the Ummah. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a very beautiful tradition in this regard related to visiting. So obviously, why is it important to visit? It's because when you visit somebody, you create a connection with somebody. Now, also the tradition is clear of who you should visit, and there's no, you know, ulterior motive in your visiting of that person. You are merely visiting him because he is your brother in faith. He is a believer. He is a mu'min. That is the only reason that you are visiting him. This visitation and visiting of one another is one of the causes or one of the acts that can create unity within the Muslim Ummah. Because why? You become associated with one another. You become close to one another. Why? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we said, there is no ulterior motive when you visit a person with this intention that is mentioned here in the tradition. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever visits or goes and sees his fellow Muslim brother or sister, sister for sister, brother for brother, and not with the intention of going to seek a need from him. That you don't going to see him because, okay, I know this person can help me. No, you're not going for that. You are just going so you can visit a Muslim mu'min, fellow believer. So you go to his house. So the Holy Prophet then continues and says that this person who goes will be counted amongst those who are the visitors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they'll be counted as being, you know, a person who is visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, the Holy Prophet continues and says that it is only worthy upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the greatest of hosts. That when he is visited, to be extremely generous and to honor his guest. So in reality, you are not visiting that person, but you are visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this tradition, we can see the importance of intention as well. That the intention of a pure visit, just because that person is my fellow Muslim brother or my fellow Muslim sister, that in fact I am visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the benefits from that visitation will be countless and not be seen by us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice this tradition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm really glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of different Quranic parts. At first, we're going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran, and then we're going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anbar, who is an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1950. His father passed away when he was only 3 years old, and then he was adopted by his maternal uncle, who encouraged him to memorize the Noble Quran. He managed to do the whole job at the age of 8, and when he was 10, he learned Tajweed under the care of Sheikh Ahmad Ferarehi. He was very talented, and he had a very beautiful voice. In 1979, he entered Egyptian radio as a reciter of the Noble Quran and became internationally well-known. From 1985, to 1996, he traveled to many countries as a representative of the Ministry of Endowments of Egypt. He traveled to some countries including America, England, Brazil, and France, and of course, the Islamic Republic of Iran, where he has many followers. He passed away in 2007 at the age of 57. May Allah bless his soul. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman, verses 17 to 21, recited by Sheikh Shahrat Muhammad Anbar, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, Lord of the two Easts and Lord of the two Wests, then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny? He has let loose the two seas meeting together. Between them is a barrier which neither of them can transgress. Then which of the blessings of your Lord will you both deny?
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman, verses 17 to 21, recited by Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anbar. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In these five verses that were recited by Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar, we had a lot of the letter Ra. And today we want to focus on the pronunciation of the letter Ra. Ra has the characteristic of istifal. It doesn't have isti'la. Nevertheless, most of the time it's pronounced with tafkhim. Okay? With thickness. When is it pronounced with tafkhim? Whenever it has a fatha. Rabbul mashriqayn wa rabbul maghribayn. Rabb. Ra. This is tafkhim. Pronouncing ra with thickness.
Practically, when practically we can say that we pronounce it with the full mouth.
With a full mouth and the tongue
raising up.
Is raised upward, yes. Is raised actually when pronouncing ra. Ra.
Yeah, actually the thing that is falling the mouth is the tongue.
Yes. It's the shape of the tongue that causes the tafkhim, and also the lips whenever there is a in fact a fatha or an aliful mat. When we say kathira, the mouth opens vertically.
And that is because of that aliful mat actually.
Yeah. So yes. We have to pronounce ra with tafkhim whenever it has a fatha or when it has a dhamma. Or if it's sakin and preceded by a fatha and dhamma. These two conditions are very prevalent.
Yes.
Okay. So we have ra with fatha or dhamma and ra with sukun preceded by a dhamma or fatha.
A letter with dhamma.
So let's go over the ras with tafkhim in these verses. Rabbul Mashriqain, the ra of Rabb. Then we have another Rabbul Maghribain, the Rabb, the second time the word Rabb is recited, we have a Ra with Tafkhim. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا. Again, the Ra has a Fatha. مَرَجَ. Only the Ra has Tafkhim. We have to take care that we don't pronounce the letter before the ra and the letter after the ra with
tafkhim.
With tafkhim. If you say marajal, maraja, that's incorrect. Ma, maraja.
Yeah, that can take place easily, actually.
Make a distinction between tafkhim and tarqiq. Then we have al-bahrayn. Again, the ra has
fatha.
Fatha. Verse 20. بينهما برزخ. برزخ.
Here ra is sakin.
It has a sukun. It's sakin. So what do? We look at the previous letter. Mm-hmm. Most of the time you have to look at the previous letter whenever ra is sakin. But sometimes you have to look at the letter after the ra. Okay? And that is whenever the ra has a kasra.
Mm-hmm.
If the ra has a kasra, actually, if the letter before the ra sakin has a kasra, you have to look at the letter after the ra sakin as well to see that there is not a letter of istirla after the ra. If there is a letter of istirla, you have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim, even though it's preceded by
a letter with a kasra.
A letter with a kasra. For example, mirsad. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. So here in the word mirsad, we have a ra sakina preceded by a meme with a kasra. But still, we pronounce it with tafkhim.
Because there is a letter of istilad. That is sad.
Yeah. But most of the time, you have to look at the previous letter. There are certain exceptions. Probably only four places for four words that you have to look at the letter after.
So the general rule is looking at the letter before it to see if it is kasra, we pronounce the ra sakina with istifa,
with tarqiq.
With tarqiq.
Yes, that's right. And now the letters with tarqiq. Let's go to the first verse that was recited. Rabbul Mashriqain. Mashriqain. The ra has a kasra in Mashriqain. وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ. Again, the ra has a kasra. You have to pronounce ra thinly this time. Ri. مَشْرِقَيْنِ. مَغْرِبَيْنِ.
With an empty mouth, actually.
Yes. And we only have ra with tarqiq in this verse, verse 17 of Surah Al-Rahman. And just like I said, most of the time, ra is pronounced with tafkhim because we have more instances of where the conditions for tafkhim of ra are met.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
The conditions for tarqiq of ra are
Only sometimes they are met.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
If you ask me why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me, proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. دين الإسلام ديني والعرب غير ديني محمد اللي هديني
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. This program, Islamic Laws, we're going to talk about the laws about mosque according to Ayatollah Sistani. Let's take a listen to a short biography.
The grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma-e-Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazvini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in Fiqh and Usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence, in 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Well, Sheikh Tawil, let me start this episode with this question. You know, as we all know, a mosque, in fact, includes several places, sometimes attached, sometimes detached, in fact. Sure. And a mosque has a number of floors, all right? Yeah. Incorporating a prayer room, for example, basement, kitchen, a storage, bathroom facilities. And all of these are parts of the building, right, considered as a mosque. And sometimes, I guess, they have the rulings of the mosque. And correct me if I'm wrong, all right,
yeah,
in this case. But the question mostly is about the women in their state of ritual impurity. Can these women enter every part of the mosque or only the prayer room?
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it depends largely on the intention of the person who endowed that piece of land as part of the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
If, for example, the kitchen was basically endowed as part of the mosque, or if other floors were made as part of the mosque, of course, they are considered to be part of the mosque. And therefore, it is not permissible, for example, to make it impure, or it's not permissible for menstruating women to enter those areas of the mosque, even if those places are not dedicated for prayers. Okay, if you enter a part of that place,
mm-hmm,
which belongs to the mosque and which is considered as part of the mosque, of course, it's not permissible for a woman who is in her menses to pause there, to halt there. But of course, as we have discussed this issue in the past as well, it is permissible for a woman to enter from one gate or from one door and leave the mosque from the other. But it is basically not permissible for a woman to halt there, or to pause there, or to leave something there, or to pick something from the mosque. So this is the answer to the last part of your question. As for those, because in your question, I suppose,
yes,
it was asked whether all those parts, for example, the prayer room, the kitchen, or the basement, or the other facilities which are in the mosque, considered to be part of the mosque. Of course, they are, if they were endowed basically, or in the first place, as part of the mosque. Otherwise, they are not considered. Because, for example,
what do you mean by that? Do you mean that the formula for
the
mosque
formula
should be performed?
Should be recited.
Recited.
Yeah, recited. If the formula was recited, and all those areas, where the kitchen now stands, or where the storage facility is there, it was meant to be part of the mosque,
mm-hmm,
then it is mosque. It should be treated as a mosque, and therefore it's not permissible for any individual to take essential impurity into those areas, to make it impure. And if that area of the mosque is made impure, it is necessary for the individual who was involved in making it impure to take action and to purify it as quickly as possible. And if he's not available there, if he cannot do it, it is a collective obligation of other people to purify the mosque as quickly as possible.
Sheikh Javid, a very quick question. Is it common in the Islamic world
to pronounce this formula for every part of the building that we know as mosque, like even the basement, mm-hmm. even the washroom, for example, of the mosque.
It may not be common, okay, that the washroom may not be a part of the mosque because it's a place where people actually wash themselves, okay, make wudu, of course. But, you know, some rules of the mosque do apply to that area as well. For example, it's not permissible for anyone to, let's say, to use that part of the mosque for any other purposes. Like, someone cannot use that part to sell something, use it as a source of income for the mosque or for any other purposes. Okay, a mosque also needs a washroom or a storage facility, and everything that belongs to the mosque should be used solely and exclusively for the mosque and to meet the needs of the mosque.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a very short break, and we'll be back continuing our laws about the mosque according to Ayatollah Sistani.
The office of Ayatollah Sistani is currently providing the following services. 1. Board of Istifta, replying to religious questions. 2. Helping the poor, needy, homeless, and those who have suffered losses by earthquakes and floods. 3. Sending books for people who want to understand and learn Islam. 4. Hajj delegation. 5. Sending preachers. Board of Istifta is a link between Ayatollah Sistani and people. It provides them with answers to questions pertaining to religious, ideological, social, and educational matters in accordance with the verdicts and rulings of Ayatollah Sistani. For more information, visit the website of Ayatollah Sistani at www.sistani.org. You can also ask your questions through the following email, english@sistani.org.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about the laws about mosque, according to Ayatollah Sistani, here on IRIB English Radio. This program is Islamic Laws, and we are at the service of Sheikh Javid still. And let me ask you this question, Sheikh. You know, in a lot of countries, especially in the Western countries, we also have Muslim communities who built mosques for themselves, all right?
Sure.
I'm not talking about the Islamic countries where most of the people or the majority of the people, in fact, are Muslims. So this question may not apply to those countries. But as far as you know, the Western countries are concerned, well, the Muslims are usually the minority, not the majority of the people. So there is always this chance of the non-Muslims coming around the mosque or entering the mosque.
Sure.
Okay? So the question is it permissible for these people, especially the people of the book,
yeah,
right? The Ahl al-Kitab, whether they're Jews or Christians, to enter mosque or other Islamic centers or places of worship, like, for example, Hussainiya?
Yeah.
Which are not basically mosque.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have to differentiate between a mosque and Husseiniya,
mm-hmm,
or an Imam Barga, as the Indian Muslims term it.
Yes.
And the rules which apply to a mosque do not apply to a Husseiniya, because a Husseiniya is not a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place which is dedicated for, let's say, for celebrations, for mourning, and for commemorating the martyrdom of the imams and so on and so forth.
Can they pronounce the mosque formula on the Husseiniya too?
No, if the formula of the mosque is pronounced, then it turns into a mosque.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it practically becomes a mosque.
I see.
And then all the rules of a mosque will definitely apply to that place as well. And it's no longer called a Husseiniya then.
Right.
Now, let's see. As for the people of the book, of course, we do believe as Muslims that they are ritually pure. According to Ayatollah Sistani also, and also according to all religious authorities, the the people of the book, Ahl al-Kitab, the Christians, the Jews, and the Zoroastrians, according to Ayatollah Sistani, are among the people of the book because they have a revealed book. And even though, of course, the book that they are currently using, the Christians, for example, is not the same book that was revealed to Prophet Jesus. But, okay, and they are not the same Christians as they used to be long before Islam. But we as Muslims should treat them as Muslims, even though they believe in duality, or they believe in, let's say, Trinity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, according to Ayatollah Sistani, it's not permissible as an obligatory precaution. He actually exercises precaution. He says it's an obligatory precaution. It's not permissible to allow non-Muslims, Christians or non-Christians, not people who are not who do not believe in any Abrahamic religions, they should not be allowed to enter a mosque as an obligatory precaution.
Mm-hmm.
As an obligatory precaution. As for Husseinis, of course, Husseinis, they can enter Husseinias, they can enter Imam Bargas, but provided that it's not considered as a kind of disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
If in common view it is considered they're coming into the mosque without, because usually when they are in their own countries, they do not follow the laws and rules of Muslim religion, Islamic religion. They follow their own pattern of life, okay?
Yes.
And of course they do not observe hijab. If they're coming and walking into the Husseiniyah, is tantamount to a kind of disrespect. And if it means disrespect, then they should not be allowed to enter even the Husseiniyah,
okay,
according to Ayatollah Sistani.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الرحمن الرحيم المنان الكريم سلام عليم من جاء لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.